We now begin the 12th perek of Maseches Yevamos, and this chapter 12 deals with the mitzvah of chalitza. So we're really moving away from plan A, yibum, to plan B, chalitza. And let me first just read you the verses inside so you see where this is going. There's four verses here in Devarim. It's Parshas Kitzeitze in perek Chafhei, chapter 25, from verse 7. It says, Ve'im lo yachpot ha'ish lakachas es yevimto. If the man, meaning the surviving brother, doesn't want to take his sister-in-law, the Yavama, to be his wife, va'alsa yevimto hasha'ara el hazakenim, so then the sister-in-law, she will go to the gate, to the elders, that's where the Beis Din would sit in time of the Chumash, va'amra, and she says, me'ein yavami lahakim la'achiv shem b'Yisrael. My brother-in-law is refusing to establish for his brother a name in Israel. Lo ava yavmi, he refuses to marry me. V'kar'u lo zikne iro. So then the elders, the Beis Din, will call him, the brother-in-law. V'dibre lav, they'll have a discussion with him. V'amad, and then he stands, meaning the brother-in-law stands. V'amar, and he says, lo chafatzi lakachta. I do not want to take her as my wife. V'nigsha yivimto elav. So then his sister-in-law will approach him. Le'enei hazakenim. In the eyes, meaning in front of all of the elders, the Beis Din. V'chaltza na'alo. And she will remove his shoe. Here the word chaltza, that's where chalitza comes from, that the removal of the shoe. Me'al raglo, from upon his foot. V'yarka, and she will spit. Bifanav, in front of him, although bifanav could mean in his face. Rashi speaks out there, of course, it doesn't mean that, it means on the floor in front of him. Va'ansa, and then she responds, va'amran, she says, kacha ye'ase la'ish, asher lo yivne es beis achiv. Thus is done to the man who will not build up his brother's home. V'nikra shmo v'Yisrael, and then his name will be called out amongst Israel, Beis Chalutzanal, that he is the one who was Chalutzanal, who had his shoe taken off. Now those are the psukim. Now, it certainly does seem a little exotic to us to think of this shoe taking off procedure and what it's all about. So let me just give the briefest of backgrounds here to make some sense of it, at least the symbolic sense of it. The psukim are the psukim, and it's Gzeiras HaKasav, so, you know, it's Hashem's world, and we, as an expression of our love and reverence to Him and fealty to Him, express that through precise adherence to His mandates in the Torah, as understood through the Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's fine. I have no qualms of that. But just to explain, like, what, like, some symbolic idea of what's happening and why this choice of symbol with the shoe. So the Ramban, and more explicitly, really, the Malbim, in Shemos, when the Malbim talks about the verses of Shal Nalecha Mel Raglecha, when Moshe Rabbeinu is told to take his shoes off from his feet when he's standing in front of the burning bush, the Sneh. So the Malbim explains that a shoe is the symbol of the body with respect to a place for the soul to, the human, S-O-U-L, the soul, to have a way to interface with the physical world. That is to say, the same way when it comes to a shoe. So there's a person, and he puts on the bottom of his person, meaning the sole of his foot, S-O-L-E, the sole of his foot, bottom of his foot. So to allow it to interface with the world without being damaged, so he wears a shoe to protect his foot. And then he sits with his feet inside the shoe, and that then allows him to traverse this world without being sullied or damaged by it, but to interface with it. And similarly, there's a soul in heaven, S-O-U-L, which needs to interface with this world as it comes down, and but not be damaged by or sullied by it, but it has to interface with and influence and interact with this physical world. So for that, it gets a body. The soul is put inside the body, and the body becomes like the soul's office, if you will, where it can do its work that it has to do in this world, and acts through the tools that the body provides it. But the body, therefore, and the body sort of allows the interface, but still protects and keeps pristine the soul. So that's the idea here, that this person who died in the story of the Yibum case, so he dies without any heirs, any descendants to carry on his legacy, and therefore he's sort of like a dead end on the family tree. And the Torah looks at this on some level as being like a tragedy, that every person is significant and has a role to play, and the role a person has to play is not just some sort of temporary role, but a role that has impact and influence and should have impact and influence l'doros, for generations. Everyone plays their role in the collective story of Yisrael, every Jew in the story of Yisrael. So this person whose life was ended without him having descendants to carry on his legacy, to actually inherit his physical possessions and carry on his moral teachings and influence to the world and subsequent generations. So that's a bit of a tragedy. And by having a new marriage with his old wife, that affords a possibility for him even to be reincarnated, perhaps, for his soul to come down to another body, or at least to have all his possessions be flow to a single household, which will use them, to do the good that and job that his possessions and his household, his physical assets were there to do, and so on. So the idea of the Yibum, as we said from the beginning, is to sort of perpetuate the name and legacy of the deceased. And if this brother is refusing to do that for whatever reasons, so then that's considered to be like a bit of a shame, and he, therefore he's essentially shamed, as you see in the Psukim over here. I want to emphasize that since Talmudic times, Chazal have already decided that people are much better off doing chalitz than yibum, and therefore that's a common practice, and therefore chalitz is really the only avenue to resolve this issue nowadays, because they were concerned people would do yibum for the wrong reasons, and that would not be good. Well, yibum might be good for the deceased, it certainly may not be good for the surviving brother and sister and widow who have to live their lives, and maybe they shouldn't be marrying one another or doing yibum, etc. So therefore, this is chalitz, this is the procedure. And we will see it in this perek and the details. So let's start ready now here with Yevamos Perek Yud Beis Mishnah Aleph. This is 12:1. Mitzvahs Chalitza B'Shlosha Dayanim. The mitzvah of Chalitza should be done before three judges. Now, these don't need to be expert judges that have smicha. They can be even, as the Mishnah says here, Vafilu Shloshtan Hedyotos, even if they're non-professional judges, they're regular people. As long as the bartender brings down, they're able to at least make sure that they can do the makar. They can make sure that the verses that the Yavam and Yavama need to say can be said clearly. And others add to that list of requirements that they're basically experts in Ilchos Chalitza. I mean, they don't have to be experts across the board in Klal Tzeikul and have smicha like that, but the Ritva, Meiri, etc. all point out at least they have to be experts in Hilchos Chalitza to administer Chalitza. So that's three people. By the way, rabbinically, they added at least two more have to be present, bringing a total to five. Those extra two are there to make sure that it's mufursam, it's publicized, because you want the word to go out that this woman is, ready to marry, and we hope that someone will marry her very soon. So we want the word to go out, and that to be sort of a public event. Chalitza b'min'al, chalitza sekshera. Now, if the chalitza is done with a min'al means a shoe made of soft leather as opposed to a hard leather shoe. So that's okay, b'di'eved. L'charchili, we want a proper leather shoe that protects the foot well. And that's important because I told you the symbolic idea of it protecting the foot, but that's also a din. That's what a nal is, something that protects the foot. So a min'al is someone with soft leather, which as long as it hasn't got holes in it or something, would be okay. B'di'evit, although luckily want a firm, solid, highly protective shoe. But on the other hand, ba'anpilin, if we're talking about like a slipper, this is a shoe that's made out of fabric as opposed to leather, since it doesn't protect the foot sufficiently, chalitzasa psula. Removing that slipper would not be effective, would be pasul, and a pasul active chalitza, which means, what does pasul chalitza mean? It means that this woman remains attached to her brother-in-law, and she can't marry anybody else she wants till they do a proper chalitza. So she's didn't free her yet. In addition, it actually pasuls them from ever getting married. So once you did this procedure, even if we did it wrongly, it has to be redone, so now he can't change his mind, do yibim after all. Besandal sheyesh lo akev, kosher. If someone has a shoe, a sandal here is a proper hard leather shoe. That's good. It has akev, like a protecting on the back of the heel, like Yaakov Avinu was grabbing into the heel of Esav. Akev, it has a heel to protect. That's kosher. That's good. Although kosher sounds like only b'di'eved, this is actually lechachila. It has to have a protective. It should have a protective thing on the back. And if it doesn't, v'she'ein lo akev, if it doesn't have protective in the heel, it's like sort of like a slipper or a slip-on or a slide. No. Or we'd call sandals for that matter. Oh, this is sandal here. It's the same word as sandal, of course, but if it doesn't protect the heel. So then pasul, it's no good. It has to be something that protects the foot, including the back as well. Min harkuva ulamata, if the straps go up on the leg that tie the shoe on, and really it's useful to see what these things look like. But anyways, there are straps that hold it on, and the mitzvah is to take it off, me'al raglo, take it off of his foot, and raglo is his foot, like the bottom, the foot, and me'al from on, the drasha is even above that, it's like I'll call it the calf, but only min arkuva lamata, up to the arkuva is the knee, and no higher than that. Chalitza sekshera, that's good. Min arkuva ulamala, but if the straps go on beyond the knee, higher up, so then chalitza sepsula, that's not going to be, if you remove it, it doesn't help. It's an invalid chalitza, because that's considered to be more than me'al haraglo, it's like, ilu, so to speak, like me'al me'al, it's above the foot, which is too high, and that's not okay. So it wouldn't be, would you not be, if you used a shoe whose straps wound around the leg higher than the knee, that's too high, and that would be not okay. You'd have to do it again with shoes with straps that go lower down.